I must have splashed. I must have splashed. Strobe lights and everything. So am I allowed to play with this? No. Thanks for the encouragement. The vote of confidence has been cast. Thanks for joining us today. King's Kids, if you are in second grade on down, you are free to stay and free to go. We have a special junior church lined up just for you. They're already cooked your goodies. It smells delicious back there. Older kids, this is your kind of Sunday because I'm about done talking and somebody's about to play with mud. So pay attention. Come on up here, Tom. Tom Guffey. For those of you who give regularly to missions, he represents you in France. I'll let him talk more about his ministry and his wife of patience, kindness, forgiveness, humility, humbleness, contentment. Did I already say forgiveness? You probably need it twice. Forgiveness.
Great cook.
Thanks for coming. We appreciate you, and it's been a pleasure reading your missions letters and seeing your kids grow up through the years. I was just telling my Sunday school class, I remember last time all five of you were here was a while. But we go through seasons of life, and you have had your ups and your downs, and yet through all of it, they've remained faithful. And the Lord uses your faithfulness, even if you don't feel like you're getting traction, even if you feel like you're stuck, or even if you feel life is going at a different pace than you're comfortable with, stay faithful to your calling. We appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you for serving and representing us around the world. Glad you're here.
It's good to be here. History. I always like to stand before people and that have involved and have a part of what we're doing over there, and that's this church. This church has been a part of what we're doing since we went to the field. I've been involved in France over there for about more than 40 years now. I used to spend a lot of my summers there before we went full time, and we've been there almost 30 years now. And so you've been a part of this church all that time. I'm not sure if this mic is working, but I can usually talk loud enough to overpower it, if not. So this morning, I brought my potter's wheel. For those of you that have been around a while, you know that this is what I kind of like to use. It's my method of preference. And mostly I just do that because this also shows you, and I'm going to talk a little bit about France this morning, but this also shows you a little bit about how we reach people in France and part of what we do. So this is for you this morning, but it's also to show you what you've been involved with. And I'll talk a little bit more about what's going on in France as I move through this. I was real disappointed that you turned the light off. I grew up in the disco years. That was kind of fun. I just wasn't sure if it was timed with anything. It's just kind of going on and thinking, is that connected to something? And then I smelled the popcorn and I thought, oh, right, I love this church. We're going to have some fun, but sorry you don't get any of that popcorn. I'm sure if you went down, they'd probably give you some. But it sure is good to be here and to be a part of what God is doing. Let's talk a little bit about France. Let's talk a little bit about his word. Let's just kind of share this morning a little bit. I have a question for you. How you doing? Because, wow, what a year, huh? It was a fun one. Very interesting. I like 220 for a lot of reasons, and one of them is because I think it's just God keeping us on our toes. You know, we grow up in a church, we realize, you know, we hear it all the time, you know, we preach all the time, you know, we're not in control of things, God's in control, trust him, he knows what he's doing, all those things. But then you have a year like 220 and you realize, oh, I don't control anything. I wish I controlled more than I thought I at least had these basics down, but we really don't control much, do we? We had an interesting year with you. Talk a little bit about how that affected. All right, here we go. Some of those moves, I forget which ones. It's a great church. I like this. Our 220 was a good year, really. We had the ups and downs like everyone. We had different kinds of struggles, and And we had to adapt ministry to fit that, as you had to, just like everybody. Our job changed a little bit. The connection with people was a little bit lost, at least face-to-face-wise. But still, God was working. And we had a really good year, personally. You put a lot of that stuff in the bulletin, actually. We had a daughter that got married in the middle of COVID. We call it COVID because that's what they call it in France, is the COVID thing. So if I say that, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's COVID. Got married right in between two lockdowns in France. And so we just managed to work that out after the summer. And it was a real blessing that she was able to do that. And she shed a lot of tears going into that marriage just because of the planning and the disappointments, what we thought was going to happen. All the international friends could not come. She got married in France to a Frenchman. And so it turned out that she would cry probably every day for the last 2 weeks going into it because things would get canceled. Her band got canceled. You know, her friends coming from even England got canceled. But in the end, that day came, and God just blessed us with a beautiful day. It was just a perfect marriage, and what a blessing. And so 2020, just for that reason alone, was just going to be one of my favorite years forever. And then we had a son who just went into lockdown. He started dating this girl he'd known for about a year and a half. They were together. They worked in the church and with the youth. And some of you know Noah. He was just a little fella, you know, like Craig was talking about it back in the day. And, when they went down into this lockdown thing, they were very close to each other, so they were able to spend a lot of time together. So if you really want to make or break a relationship when you're going into it, going from friendship to more friends with potential, that was them, and they managed to work it out. He's now engaged and will get married in May, and so that was a good year for my son Noah. I got a good job just before all this pandemic hit, and so they take real good care of him, and it was just a huge blessing in my son's life, and so that was another good thing. And then our oldest daughter, Tara, you may remember her, some of you, she has Asperger's syndrome, and so she's very high functioning and just is a very talented in some many, very, very many, a lot of different areas, but just general living isn't one of those talents. Money, time, you know, those kind of things isn't a talent of hers. And so we'd been back and forth for a couple years from France trying to find her a place to stay. She'll turn 30 next month, if you can believe that. So my oldest is 30. And we managed just this year to find a place that she wants to live. She says, I'm good with that. And she said, she's been there for 2 months now. And she said, it's a great place. And she just loves it. And that's a real answer to prayer. If anybody's got adult children with a handicap, to find something that's good for them that they want to do, where they can live their life and move on. It's a blessing and it confirms to us that we can go back to France and continue working, because as a missionary, being far away from a child with special needs, you don't know if that might be your call back home to take care of them. But it wasn't this time. Maybe in the future, I don't know what the Lord has in store, but right now she's found a great place to live. And so we're just very happy about that. 2020's been a great year for us. It's been a little less of a great year for the camp. I'm going to incorporate that into this message. In France, I mentioned earlier that we use art a lot of times just to talk to kids. We're working with the basic questions of life there. We're not necessarily delving into the deep theology that maybe you delve in each Sunday here. We keep to the basics a lot of times. And so we're talking basics, and certainly with youth, but we do this with families as well. We just like to use the element of art to go with images, because it speaks loudly. I was in church all my life, and I heard a lot of sermons, Baptist church, so that's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and anytime there was an evangelist in town, and those week-long revivals, you remember all those things, some of you? So my mother, raising three boys, she would drag us to church every chance she got, because she figured that was her only chance. And so she put us in church every time the doors opened. And so I heard a lot of sermons. And I have to say that a lot of the information went in this ear and out that ear, because I was busy just messing with my brothers in the pews, you know, and writing on those little visitor cards and drawing stuff. So I heard a lot of messages. But every time that pastor would pull out an image, all through my life, I would just be attentive for a while. And I remember not only what he did, the images, they still stuck in my mind, the image, the illustrations, but the point that he was making with those. And so when I got a little older, I thought, you know, instead of just talking to these kids and working at a youth camp, I said, I'm not going to talk unless I have something in my image that's going on here, because maybe they'll just capture a little bit of something, a little deeper, go a little longer. And boy, it was really heyday when missionaries came, because Sunday night I'd walk in and that the slide projector was set up, and I thought, all right, I get to go somewhere tonight. I just don't have to listen to that same guy preaching. I'm not saying that's what they say here. My preachers sometimes, some of them were kind of long and, well, I won't say boring, but they had a certain manner that didn't really adapt to my 7-year mentality as a boy. So I want to use this image because as a potter, I really enjoy the passages in the Bible that speak about the potter and the clay. It's such a great illustration of what our relationship is like to our Heavenly Father. And there's a passage in Jeremiah, maybe the most well-known passage about the potter and the clay, that just God had a message that he wanted to tell to one of his prophets. And he told him, he said, I just need you to go down to the potter's house. We find that in Jeremiah chapter 1, and it basically says this. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 18, chapter 1 through 6. Chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. We'll get there. The disco light should have just gone off of the added effect. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. Now this is Jeremiah talking. He says, so I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working on the wheel. This is the potter's wheel. And the message says, but the pot that he was shaping was marred in the potter's hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Now, if you've been here before, you'll say, I remember this, and I remember you preached on that maybe in the past. You know, I forget what I do time to time. It's been probably 5 years. So that's true, because I love these passages in the Bible that talk about the potter and the clay. But this year, specifically 2020, last year, really spoke to me in a different way. And I found some things, discovered some more things about this passage that I want to share today. And so what are we looking at here? Well, we went down, got Jeremiah going down to the potter's house, and because God had something to tell him. And if God heard Jeremiah say, go to the potter's house, then God could have just told him what he wanted to tell him right here and there. But God said, go down there and watch this. And then I'm going to reveal my words to you when you're down there. So while he was down there at the potter's house, he was watching him work. And I don't know if the potter and Jeremiah knew each other. I assume so. This potter was the local Walmart, or because he was doing the dishes. He was doing the containers. He's your Tupperware guy, you know, the things you put stuff in to conserve it. Your water jars. He was doing your lamps, so he was your lighting guy in your house. He'd do the oil lamps. They pour oil in there. So this potter had a lot to do with the daily lives of the people back then. And so I've imagined that they at least knew of each other. Certainly Jeremiah knew of this potter, because I'm sure he had some of his stuff probably in the house. And so I don't know what the conversation, I don't know if while he was speaking or while he was working, the potter and Jeremiah spoke. I know that as a potter in general, they're kind of in a secluded spot. It's dirty, you know, it's just full of clay and stuff. And a potter isn't the kind of person that's really an outgoing social person. They're generally kind of in the background, you know, just doing stuff, creating and enjoying that. So I don't know how verbal this exchange was. The Bible doesn't say. But it does say that as Jeremiah watched, something happened, and the one pot that he was working on failed. We don't know what happened, but it crashed. It could have been just a false movement on the potter, the potter part, or the clay wasn't quite ready, but there was a pot that didn't make it. And so the Bible says, you read it, or you heard me read it, so the potter made it into another pot that pleased him. I like this passage in the Bible because it runs pretty deep. Now, Jeremiah doesn't give us all these examples as he was watching. He just said one thing about the end of this whole thing. He didn't talk us about through the process and what he saw and all the things that he learned. But as a potter, I find it very interesting that God would use this image because it's really, really full of things that go unsaid in this verse, in this passage. So we're watching and we're seeing this potter form something and it doesn't work. And so he has to remake another one. And God then, in verse 6, he speaks to Jeremiah at the end of this whole thing, and he says, like the clay in the potter's hands, that's the way you are in my hands, O house of Israel. Like the clay in the potter's hands, that's the way you are in my hands. Look at this image because you'll understand more about my relationship to you and your relationship to me through this image. So the question remains this morning, what does it mean to be clay in the potter's hands? Well, I think there's some very basic truths, and these are the basic truths that we speak to the French people with all the time. The first basic truth I think that we can pull out of this image is you have a creator. You say, yeah, that's pretty basic. We're in church, Tom. I would assume that you would know that we believe in a creator. But I think it's very, very, very important that we start there. It certainly is in France, because the majority of French people, I was telling them in Sunday school class this morning, would call themselves, at least my friends, Catholic atheists, meaning they're Catholic by culture, but atheist by belief. So starting with the idea that you have a creator is very, very important in the country of France. And this flies in the face of what they're being taught and probably what you've been taught. And that is that we all came from something like this. After the effects of the Big Bang and the expansion, all those things, then somewhere on this earth, there was some mud like this, just some mud. And within that mud, something happened. We're not sure exactly what happened. But then there was something, and there was the beginnings of life. And then cell, you know the story, cell, polywog, frog, fish, land creatures, stand up, straighten up, lose your hair, to us. That's what evolution teaches came from this. Well, one of the major reasons that I believe in God today is because I've never seen the clay do anything on its own. Ever. And neither did Jeremiah. Jeremiah watched the potter make the pot. The potter just didn't put the clay on there and walk away and go do something else while this pot formed itself. The clay does nothing unless there are two hands or the hands of a creator around it forming it. And you say, well, yeah, we're not talking though, Tom, you know, you're not talking just couple of minutes and clay will do something. I mean, your lifetime is, what, 60 years? And so, yeah, sure, you haven't seen the clay do anything on its own, because we're talking about billions and billions and billions of years and forces and all this. Well, I still can't swallow that, because I'm convinced if I let this go and just let it spin on here for all day long, come back this evening, nothing's going to happen. And if I let that happen for 50 years and keep it spinning, nothing's going to happen. And if I let that go for 1,000 years and then billions and billions and billions of years, even with all the different things that might happen with wind and everything and nothing, this clay will never transform itself into something that we could call life. Can he make itself into a pot, just a simple pot? And that's so much more complicated than we are. It's one of the major reasons that I believe. And my biggest argument with my friends that don't believe, my atheist friends that don't believe in God, I say, well, the biggest argument that I have for God is you. You're sitting right there. You're in front of me here. I said, because if there is a pot, then there has to be a potter. And if there is a creation, there has to be a creator, especially something so complicated as you are. And you that have children, you understand what that's like to watch that baby be born. One minute it's in the stomach of its mother in liquid. The next minute it's out and it can never go back to that liquid again. Just breathing. Lungs are filled with air. How come we can't just put that baby Lynn in and let it go for a little longer? It doesn't work like that. It's just a miracle. And then everything's formed on that baby and it functions. There's just something about life that is not explainable in this accident and force of nature that happened. So the first basic truth, it's debunked for me in Isaiah 64:8, when the Bible says, "You are the potter, and we are the clay, and we are all the work of your hands." Basic truth number one is, you have a creator. And that answers the first big question of life, doesn't it? Where did I come from? That's the first big one that we all ask eventually. Well, you came from a creator that loves you. And it seems basic, but it's important that we get that step down, because if you don't believe that you come from a creator, then you miss that basic truth. You're probably going to miss the second basic truth, is that you're created for a purpose. And you hear this as you're growing up, certainly in the church, you're created for a reason. And it's a little bit hard to totally understand that. Even now sometimes it's like, yeah, what is my purpose then? But you're created for a purpose. Jeremiah sat there and he watched the potter create some things. I don't know what the potter made. Don't know what the pot looked like that crashed. Don't know what he made afterwards. But I know that as a potter myself, I make a lot of things. So if I make something like this, I have a different reason for this than maybe for this. I could put a handle on this, make this cute into a mug, you know. I mean, I saw, Stacy, was it? There's a cool mug I saw sitting out there, handmade, this morning. Very nice mug. And so I might put that on there, put a handle on there. This I'll use, it's obviously a bowl, you know, and I choose kind of what I want to do with that. I'll maybe eat cereal out of that. I may put M&Ms in that. I have a cat. My cat eats his food out of a handmade pottery bowl, kind of like this. But I make different things for different reasons, and I give them the purpose that I want for them. So as I'm making things, I know what I'm going to do with them, and I know how I want to make them. That decision is all made by the potter. You were made for a purpose. And the reason you were made is given to you by your potter. You don't choose that. A purpose is something that's given. It's not created. That flies in the face of kind of what we learned today, and what the big message is that you go out and you create your own way in your own life. But I think we've seen kind of the results and what that brings. You just have to take a quick look at Hollywood and all those self-made people in Hollywood, or the big business, those self-made people in business. And you ask them that question, the infamous question, you know, how much is enough? And they just say, one more dollar. Just that next dollar is enough. It never ends. And take a look at their lives, and their lives are a mess. And so many of them, if you read their biography, their story, they say, yeah, I thought I knew what I wanted, and I strived for this, and I got there, and it wasn't what I wanted. In the height of my purpose that I built for myself, I had arrived, and I was sadder than I've ever been in my life. That is a very common testimony from people who have tried to create their own purpose. But a purpose isn't something you create. It's something that you're created for, and it's given to you. I think as a Christian, that is one thing that we should celebrate more often. Say, well, Tom, what's my purpose? Well, fortunately, I'm not the guy that's telling you that, because I'd probably get it wrong anyway. I want to encourage you with this. Is that as a potter, I only make one of a kind pots. So no matter how I try, in other words, I've done sets of dishes. I've done, you know, a set of 12 for my wife, actually, one time. They're all busted now. But I made a set of dishes for my wife. I've made so many sets. And the cups and the saucers and the bowls, they all look alike. They all resemble each other. But they're all just a little bit different. And that is very important, because that's what makes the pot so expensive, so important. The example I use is this one, is that I have this cup right here that you can buy down at Walmart for about 98 cents or less. Sometimes they're on sale, four for a buck. That doesn't cost anything, because it comes out of a mold. There's probably thousands of them just like it. It's not worth very much, because it's not unique at all. Whereas a handmade pot, handmade cup like this. You go into a potter studio, don't know how much the one was that we saw earlier. You don't even want to tell how much it was, do you? I know, I'm embarrassed. If I buy a potter's, go to a potter shop and buy a cup, it's like, you spent that much for that cup? Why? Well, because it's a one of a kind. If it breaks, you cannot make one that looks just like this. And the potter's actually signed it right there, and it testifies the fact that that potter exists. You see, that's a one of a kind coffee mug. And you can pay way up there, depending on the how well-known the potter is. You can pay hundreds of dollars for a small coffee cup because it's one of a kind. And I just plug that into us. You're made for a purpose, a specific reason. God spent all his time thinking about you. And it's the most important, you are the most important thing to him because you're one of a kind. You bring something into this world that nobody else brings into this world. A part of him that he spent his time thinking about you. And before you even, in your mother's womb, he knew what you were going to be like. He thought about that. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, this is how I'm going to make Tom. And I wish I'd have been in on that decision. Because there's so many things that I would have changed. If it was making my own purpose, I would have eliminated a couple of things that are not great in my personality, you know. And I would have put a little more fuzzy hair on top, you know. I would have chosen maybe some a little bigger muscles and stuff. God, I got some great ideas, but I had nothing to do with that decision. It was long before I was born that was made, and God thought, this is the way I want Tom, and I'm going to put that in him of me. The time, the energy, and all the stuff that he put in me, he didn't put in any of us. There's a part of you running around, a part of God that's in you that he didn't put in anyone else. And we see that just by the personalities we have. And I know that for sure that there's something that you do better than anybody else in the room. I don't know what that is, but you do something. It could be that you're the best coffee maker in the entire room. Or that you change diapers better than anybody and more efficiently and with less mess than anybody else in the room. It could be that you're the best cook in the room, or your best specialty may be setting that table. Or what is it with the kids, you know, there's something that maybe they're playing basketball. Maybe you're the best guitar player, maybe you're the best something. You do that better than anybody else in that room. That might be not your purpose, it may be, but I'm not saying that's your purpose. I'm just trying to point out that you are so extremely unique that once you are out of the picture, that particular you, there's nobody that's going to replace you ever again. And God knew that. That's what makes you so extremely valuable. You are a unique creation from the Creator, and he created you with a purpose. They ask me sometimes, they say, Tom, what's your favorite pot? And I know that Craig remembers the answer to this. My favorite pot that I've ever made in all of my life is this one. This is my favorite. And when I was working on this one was my favorite. And when I was working on this one was my favorite. You see, I like to make things, and I like to fire them, put them glaze on them, use them in my coffee cup bowls, and feed my cat out of that stuff. But what really, really gives me joy as a potter is having clay all over my hands. It's this relationship that I have with this clay. It's spinning, it's turning, and it's clean. All the pot or the clay has been cleaned, it's been purified. And so when I just touch it, it's well centered. And so when I bring the pot up a little bit here on the side and I just touch it, it changes. It moves. I can just bend the top here. That's still fun for me. Every time that's fun for me, it's magic. And I think the point is that I'd like to make is it's not about God making something beautiful out of you. It's not God making something and saying, look, I made this, and putting you on a shelf and then saying, this is mine up here. No, what God wants is, well, he wants to be up in here in us, doesn't he? He wants to have us all over his hand. It's about the relationship. That's the reason I like to make pottery, because it's the relationship I have with this clay at this moment in time. That's why every one of these pots can be my favorite. You know that you're God's favorite? He looks at you and he says, I love this person for this reason. You are my favorite. Can you pick out which kid's your favorite if you've got more than one child at the house? You really can't. You like one for this reason and one for this reason, but you can't pick out a favorite. You don't like the actions of this one, maybe, and you like the actions of this one better, but to pick out the favorite for who they really are, it's almost impossible, because God's given you enough love, more love. It's not a little amount of love that you share with however many kids you have. It's more love each time you have another child. And that's the way it is with us. We can all be His favorites. So I just want to tell you that you are extremely important to Him because of your purpose, but because He created you the way He wanted to create you. And this relationship that I'm talking about that we can have with our Creator, you can have it through Jesus Christ. And you've heard this story. If you haven't, then I'm going to have to talk to the pastor. We had two people that heard this story, I don't know how long ago, and who said, "I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe He came to die for my sins. And I want to just tell you people out there, I believe this now." And God is saying, hallelujah. It's the relationship that He wanted with them from the beginning of time. One of the reasons you exist is to have a relationship to your Creator. And one is to testify to Him. I just said a little earlier, a potter signs his pots right here. One of the reasons I believe in God is because you exist. You are testifying to me right now that God exists, because I see that He signed you. He said, "You're mine. You're mine." But your part in that is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, because we all need saving. If you don't think you do, come see me. We all need saving. And Jesus came to do that. And through Jesus Christ, we can have that relationship with our Creator. It's a great, great thing. The third basic truth is that the Creator knows what He's doing. In control, no mistakes. Now, the image that Jeremiah saw, he saw this pot that was destroyed, and then he saw the potter making into another one. Now, I have to admit that for a lot of years, I brushed over this part that of the pot that was destroyed, this pot right here. I brushed over it because it was a way to get to the next step. But this year taught me to stop, and actually, it was another dimension to me. It said, stop right there. The pot that the potter was working on was destroyed. Stop there, Tom. In January of 2020, the camp had just finished its most successful year. So, all 2019 was a great year. We'd had more people reached than ever before. We had a full-time staff, more volunteers than ever before. We just purchased a new property adjacent to the camp, and we were remodeling that. We were going gangbusters. We had great ideas for that. We just finished making our main building handicap accessible with an elevator and everything, and so we'd moved on. We got plans made up for all of our older buildings, which is five older buildings. We were going to remodel those five buildings, and we had money raised to start that remodeling project. We had five work teams ready that were coming to work on those projects, and we were thinking maybe 3 to 5 years we'd have everything remodeled. And we had groups signed up. That year, 2020 started, we had camps and church weekends and training, discipleship training, and all these things all the way down to almost to the end of the year. And all those camps, most of them had filled up already. It was going great. And then January 2020, and little by little, we held out for as long as we could, you know, as this pandemic just spread out across the world. We held out for as long as we could, and each week there would be another level, and we would get closer. 2 weeks out, we got to cancel this one. 2 weeks out, we got to cancel this one. We wound up canceling almost everything up until the summer. But we held out for the summer because we knew that the French wouldn't let their people not go on vacation. So we're holding out saying, we better hold out here. But everything else was canceled. All those work teams, boom. All of our North American workers, travel is closed, can't come, boom. Lost 80 North American workers that were coming to help us with our camps. So the pot that the potter was working on was destroyed. What happens when a pot is destroyed? I'll tell you, in the potter's world, you have to take this clay and you have to rework it. I didn't take the time to do that this time around. You have to remove all the impurities that might be in here, mostly air bubbles that get stuck after you make a pot. And so you wedge it to change that, and then you have to put it back on the wheel. If it's too wet, you have to let it dry out a little bit. Put it back on the wheel, and you got to center it again. And then you got to take time to do all that. And then you eventually, after all that, you can finally remake the pot again. At the camp, the pot kind of just crashed. We're going, okay. During the fat cow years, we'd save some money to kind of pay our bills if something like this happened. And not only are we flying through that money, but also flying through the money that was given to remodel our buildings. We're starting to fly through that money. So the camp has had its ups and downs this year. That's the down part. Let me tell you what happened. God started to make another pot. So he took this clay and he reworked it. That was us that he's reworking, by the way. And he said, you're going to have to be patient. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm still working. We knew this in our minds, but when you're living it, thinking, how are we going to do church? How are we going to do church? Did you shut down here for 8 weeks, I think? Something like that. And then you're thinking, is it going to be over? Another 2 weeks? What's going to happen? You have to trust. And so the wedging process and the recentering process was all about us. We had to think, okay, let's step back here and trust the Lord on this camp, because this is a big project. If we can't keep people in, your whole purpose is in question. Our purpose is to create a place where God comes in and meets people. And if you can't have people to come in for God to meet, how is he going to work? And so basically we had to step back and God worked on us. And he began to recreate something. So the upside is that God took the camp and he had us divide all of our camps into smaller sessions for the summer. And we were, as the summer got closer, we realized we're going to be able to do our camps. We didn't know how. So 2 weeks before, they gave us the information on how we're going to be able to divide our camps up. And we went to work. And with our French counselors, we can't get any American counselors over there. It's all French counselors. The French counselors stepped up. They organized all of our camps. We divided our camps in from 2 weeks to 1 week. And we were able to fill not only all the people that had signed up, we had added a few more. And because we couldn't have our North Americans there for service team, 80 people were out of the picture for service team. We had to call on our French families and say, can you come and help us? Our French families flooded us. And that's the way it is even today. We're going to go back 3 weeks and do our winter camps, and we have lots of volunteers that want to come and help us. So that's actually giving the French people the opportunity to serve that never would have happened without this COVID thing. And financially, yeah, we're trusting the Lord still. We're still in the wedging process financially. But we were able to hold out because we were able to save some money during those fat cow years, now as we head into some thin cow years, so it would seem. But it's easier as we watch God work down to the second working things out, it's easier to trust him for the next time. And to go back to this basic truth of God knows what he's doing all the time. And the last basic truth that I'll leave with you before we conclude is just that it's never too late. So I didn't come here, if you know me, you know that I didn't come here to make any pots. I came here just to make a point. And you're looking at these now, you're saying, well, that's kind of a waste. It's kind of a waste of time. And maybe, but it's not really because I didn't come here to make pots. I came here to make a point. And the point is, it's never too late. It's never too late. No matter what you've done, God can change that into something good. You know, the potter is in the process of taking just mud and clay and working it and redoing the mistakes and doing it over again and making it better. God is in the business of taking broken things and making them new again. That's what this is all about. And like I told you, it isn't about making pots that makes me happy. It's about having clay up to here. So you're looking at destroyed pots. I'm looking at the next time I get to take this clay and mix it back together again and put it back on this wheel and make something else. That's what brings me joy. That's what our God is all about. So, in conclusion, you have a creator. You are made by a creator who loves you and thinks that you are infinitely valuable to him. You have a purpose for being here. Your role in that is to do everything that he's given you right now to serve him, and he'll take you to your purpose. But you're not going to create it yourself. He knows what he's doing, and there's no mistakes. Three greatest days in your life: the day you're born, the day you're born again through Jesus Christ, and the day you realize why you're here. The three greatest days in your life. I want to leave with just one verse. It's in Psalms 37:3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Our land is in trouble through this pandemic, through the political situation. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. I'll go back to France and dwell in that land and cultivate it there. I'm counting on you to cultivate that faithfulness here. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing. It's a gift to me to be there and be in France and to be able to represent you. Every soul that comes to Christ goes to your credit. And I thank you for that.
Amen. Thanks for coming today. So we just want to take a minute. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Perhaps, hopefully, you envisioned yourself as the pot or the lump of clay today. That's the point. You are a lump of clay. Don't leave here today if you need to talk about that. Don't leave here today thinking you're discarded to the side, and don't leave here today thinking you're useless or you're flawed. Remember that you can be remade. That's why we are here, to pray with you through that, to encourage you through that. God, we bring our lives in front of you right this second, and it is a wonderful thought to imagine every person here on their own individual wheel being spun. And it is awesome to know that you have the power to be in all of our lives, shaping and molding at the same time, because you are God. Help us, even though we get you dirty, help us to remember that your hand is still shaping and directing our lives. We see the flaws, we feel the change, and we don't always go with the flow. We don't always go with your hand. We resist and we fight, and we know we are flawed. Help us to be patient as you work your way into us, as you sign us, as you treasure us, as you fire us and glaze us, and as you use us. And even then, because you are a God of miracles, you can even break us then and start over. Thank you for our missionary, and we pray that you would watch over his heart, that he would continue to be clay in your hands, adjusting to your will and your way in his life, that you would watch over his wife and over his children and help him to remember that this is your camp. He just gets to work there. Thank you for all the people in France that you have touched and reached. We pray that you would continue to use Tom and Brenda to be the light of the world there. Watch over them, bless their needs, help them get back, help them to have an even bigger heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Stand with us as we finish with the song.
Mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend, the agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin, Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied, Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you. By your perfect sacrifice I've been drawn near. Your enemy you've made your friend. Pouring out the riches of your glorious grace, your mercy and your kindness knows no end. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. Lover of my soul, I want to live for you. Lover of my soul, I want to live for you. I want to live for you. Lover of my soul, I want to live for you. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. Completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you.
Let me answer a really practical question. How can I help the Guffies? One, give all year to missions. We use money every month to support families like this around the world. Number two, give to our Christmas offering that we do every season because it goes to our missionaries. And number three, a special love offering. We're not passing offering plates anymore, but there are envelopes in the seats in front of you. You can put cash in that. You can always put cash into his hand. If you want to write a check and put missionary on the memo line, we'll take all the checks we get today that are designated missionary or Tom, to keep it simple, and we'll put those into one check and send him on his way to let him know. Thank you. We appreciate you.
What a joyful Sunday. We got to see new Christians follow the Lord in obedience. And then we get to see faithful Christians who are obeying the command of the Lord, going to the end of the earth, go to all nations, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. Church, what we are doing is not meaningless. The routine, showing up, coming here together, it is for a purpose. Don't forget that. So as you go, a blessing for you from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you as you go. You're dismissed.